This episode of Nature of Things was originally aired December 5th, 1991.
During the last couple of years, we've had reports of black bears within the confines of populated areas near Syracuse, places usually unacceptable to this animal, which has historically shunned people. Literature, which I used when I was studying wildlife management at Cornell just after World War II, was very specific about this. Range maps showed little penetration by the bear into agricultural or suburban areas. In that aspect, things have not really changed over the years. But the bear, rated by many big game hunters as one of the most intelligent, has discovered means of dealing with the spread of civilization and its own antipathy for it. A bear is basically a prodigious appetite wrapped up in a powerful body, which places it very close to the proverbial irresistible force. Its appetite is about as cosmopolitan as can be imagined. Zoologists class it as an omnivorous carnivore, a seeming oxymoron. That makes a lot of sense upon examination. Mammals are pretty much slaves in terms of diet to what their dentition, jaw attachment, and digestive tract dictate. A bobcat, for instance, is ill-equipped to handle leaves, acorns, rootstocks, and garbage. It could eat, but may be ill-equipped to get grubs, moles, bees, and livestock. These are all in the possible fare of the black bear, whose teeth allow it to crush and macerate plant material, and whose digestive tract allows for a longer retention of food material, thereby aiding in the breakdown of hard-to-digest plant materials. Berries, therefore, which race through the digestive tract of the cat, apparently unaltered, are properly digested and assimilated by Ursus americanus, the black bear. The black bear is also a legitimate predator, taking most small and medium-sized mammals, and including fawns and calves of members of the deer family. The literature of the frontier in central New York includes some references to bear as a disturber of gardens, poultry, and sheep cotes. Pioneers in areas where bears were numerous learned to protect their livestock and to avoid leaving garbage and livestock carcasses too close to their farmsteads. Bears are attracted to carrion. In recent years, visitors to Adirondack campsites occasionally encounter bears, which have learned to frequent campsites, cabins, and landfills, especially where food and garbage is carelessly handled. My daughter Brenda and a friend tended in the Adirondacks, had a terrifying encounter with a curious black bear who rummaged around their campsite and others nearby for several hours. Because they were careful to protect their food from coons, the bear did not destroy anything, and it never really menaced them. But they were pinned down within their tent, afraid to move for fear of antagonizing it. Even though they were aware that loud noise would probably have scared it away, they knew that only foolish people take chances with bears. I've had only two encounters with bears in the wild when I wasn't in an automobile or a truck. One of them was in Happy Valley Game Management Area in 1954 or 55. At least I think it was a bear. It was approaching nightfall, and I was probably three-quarters of a mile from my car. I'd been watching Drake wood ducks streaming into a small pond, several dozen of them. I was so fascinated with their beauty and their interesting behavior that I lost track of the time. Suddenly, I realized it was getting dark and that I didn't know the trail too well. As I retraced my steps, I kept blundering into snags and bushes.
Then I heard a snuffling and then an explosion of sound, as a large animal crashed its way through the underbrush, trying to escape. At first, I thought of a pig. That's what it sounded like, though I didn't know what a pig would be doing out there. Soon after, however, members of my crew found bear entrails, which we presume to have been left by a deer hunter who happened upon the bear and shot it. Conservation records show that several deer kills were reported from that area that fall, but no bear kills. We figured that it was the work of one of our neighbors, some of whom tended to hunt and harvest wildlife in the remote parts of Happy Valley whenever they needed it. Only the entrails were left behind. The other encounter was more prosaic. I was in a tree perch near Alder Creek, hoping to spot a fisher a trapper had reported seeing in the vicinity. The bear was moving along the trail nearly under my perch. It apparently detected my presence but showed little concern. as if it wasn't quite sure where I was. Then it just hurried away. Those two encounters were the only times I can remember experiencing fear in the woods. The black bear isn't really formidable looking walking along the trail, but when you have to handle one, as I did a couple of times when working at checking stations in the Adirondacks, you learn that even a dead bear is hard to handle. All that sinew, muscle, and bone seem to turn to jelly, and a 250 to 300-pound bruiser is harder to deal with than half a ton of anything else. More about bears sometime in the near future. That's all I have for today. This is John Weeks saying thanks for listening. Tune in next week, and keep it natural.